Hi guys, good evening. Welcome to our 7 p.m. service. It's so great to have you tuning in with us. My name is Rachel and I'm part of the team here and I'm really happy to be here at the 7 p.m. and I hope you are too. And this is my wonderful co-host.
I'm Luke and I'm also part of the team here. One of the things I do is I lead a midweek church group, Fulcher. Pastor, a particular shout out if you're watching from Fulcher this evening. And normally we'd have people here in the building
with us,
wouldn't we?
But we don't have many, a handful really.
But we don't. So if you're watching online, we'd still love you to really engage with us this evening. Throw us some comments in the comments underneath. A like, a share would go a long way. Yeah, maybe just let us know what you're having for dinner this evening, mostly because I'm hungry.
I had a big roast before I came out, so I'm actually feeling really, really full. In fact, the roast coma is kicking in, so I'm going to have to keep myself awake. But yeah, we're so glad you're here. And yeah, do comment, like and share, like Luke said. Now, tonight we have Dave Mitchell, our senior pastor. He's going to be speaking to us all about the Father's heart and God's love for us. So tune in for that. Don't go anywhere. We've got amazing worship band going to be leading us in worship. And also we're going to be hearing from a couple in Woody's who are currently fostering. So that's going to be a really inspiring interview as well. So Luke, why don't you, pray for us as we start our service.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your heart for us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us with a fresh awareness of your heart for us. Jesus, we adore you, and as we come to you in worship this evening, would you receive our praise? Amen.
Amen.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. God, we just want to thank you for all the great things that you've done. And yeah, God, we're sorry for when we forget those things. I know I have to remind myself because I tend to get caught up in the everyday and the disappointment. And yeah, God, I just want to come back, and we all want to come back to you and just say thank you. Psalm 61 verse 2 says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Yeah, God, thank you that when we feel tired and frustrated and just disappointed at the things that haven't happened yet, we just thank you that we can come to you with all of these things. We can come to you to be filled and renewed and restored. Yeah, God, we just thank you for this.
We sing, come, Lord Jesus.
I was reading this story in Matthew 18 this week, and it's a parable that Jesus tells where he talks about a shepherd that goes off to look for a sheep that has wandered off out of the pen, and he leaves the 99 to go after the one that has wandered off. And as we were worshipping in here, I just sort of was reminded of that story again. And I expect, and I just sense that there are people tuning in tonight who are watching, or maybe you're watching this on catch up, you're watching it in the week, or you're listening to it on your way to work, and you feel like you've wandered off. You feel like you wandered off, and you feel like you're maybe on, like, way, way away from the rest of the sheep. And maybe you've wandered, or maybe you've never felt like you were with the sheep, and you're on the outside looking in. And I just want to emphasize tonight that there's an invitation coming tonight from this service to you, from us to you. And the invitation is to receive Jesus and to come back to the sheep, to come back to the shepherd. And you may say, I don't know how to do that, but actually tonight we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the Father's love. And so I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that if that's you and you're feeling that tug, that sort of something inside of you, maybe even like the hairs on the back of your neck are standing on end, or maybe your heart's sort of racing, or you just feel a bit of a funny feeling inside, you think this could be me. I want to pray for you right now, and I'm just going to do that, so just join me. Father God, I thank you that your love is deep and wide. It covers us all, and it sees us all. It notices every single one of us, the ones that are with everybody else in the sheepfold, the ones that have wandered off, the ones that feel like they're on the outside and looking in and wondering how to get back or how to even start the process, start the journey. And so, God, I pray for those that feel like that, that they're outside, they've wandered off. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would draw them back, that they would know today that they are noticed, that they're loved by you, that Jesus died for them just as much as he died for anybody else, that us here are no more precious than those that are feeling like they're on the outside looking in. And so I just ask, Spirit of God, that you'd make yourself really real and present to those right now, wherever they're hearing this. At any point now or in the week, that you'd speak right into their lives, they'd know that they're loved by you, they're precious to you, that you want to call them home to be in relationship with the Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you guys. That was lovely worship. Thank you so much, amazing team. It's so lovely to be here in the building. It feels a bit of a, it's a privilege, isn't it?
It's a real privilege to be here. To hear live worship. Like
it
that.
Is. Oh. Luke, take it away, because I'm slightly like speechless.
Well, Rachel, I mean, I've been coming to this church my whole life, and I know for a fact that about 30% of people will come to church after it started. So if you came after we welcomed everyone at the start, I want to just welcome you again this evening. And I was just having a look in the comments.
Yeah.
And we asked what people were having for dinner.
What are they eating?
People are having some fantastic meals,
really?
Rachel. People, there are roast dinners everywhere.
It is Sunday.
There's a curry with some homemade peshwari naan.
Oh my gosh.
Someone from my home group is having a vegetarian cottage pie, so I will be praying for them this week.
That sounds very healthy and very ethical. I approve wholeheartedly of that.
And something else that's happened, Rachel, is we have gone global. We've got a viewer from Panama City. If you are watching anywhere else in the world that's very exotic and not Bristol, let us know, because that's really exciting. And something that we love to do, actually, at Woodlands is to connect with people who are here for the first time, and maybe you're just a visitor. Maybe, actually, at the moment, you don't live in Bristol, but you're connecting with us primarily. We'd love to help you connect with us as a church family, and the best way to do that is to go onto our website, www.woodlandschurch.net, and click on the Connect button, and fill in an online contact card. And that's probably one of the best ways to get involved with a midweek church group as
definitely.
Well. And the midweek groups, I'm going to plug them again. I said it at the start. I just love midweek church.
Remind me, which midweek pastorate you're in again, Luke?
It's Fulcher.
Oh, yes.
So let's give a shout out to Mark Reed for that absurd name. But a midweek group is a great way to connect to people here, to get known and to get to know people.
Yeah. So do that. And we love connecting, and we want to get to know you, and hopefully you want to get to know us too. So do fill in that contact form. Now, we also like celebrating people.
We do.
And we like bigging people up, and we like thanking people. And it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to make this service kind of go global to Panama City. And we have an amazing tech team that every Sunday works really hard to make this service live stream out to all of you lovely folk. And so we're just going to put up a slide on the screen to say these are some of the amazing people that are helping this service be broadcast. And they do a load of different jobs to make it happen. But we just want to say a big thank you to everyone that helps serve. And also, we want to say a big thank you to Dan Smith, who is at the moment trying to sort out a bit of a tech issue, I think. He's behind the tech desk as we speak. Is he on there? Oh, I can't tell if he is on there. Dan Smith, you are a legend. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. He got two claps in the building. He deserves more than that. Come on in the building. Yay, there we go. Yeah.
I'll tell you something else about Dan Smith, Rachel. He's in my midweek church group.
You're plugging that group, aren't you? And so thank you so much, tech team. We think you're great. And if you're interested in finding out what it would be to join a tech team, how to do that, contact Dan Smith or any of us, and we will tell you all about that. Now, we are going to go right over now to an interview that happened this week. Tim Dobson met up over Zoom with Kat and James Gray, who are a couple from our church that have begun the process of fostering. And now lots of families actually in our group of churches are involved in fostering and adoption. And so let's watch this interview and be inspired by what they say.
So here we are on a Zoom call with James and with Kat, who are foster parents up in the North Bristol. I mean, Kat, could you just tell people just a little bit of your fostering journey?
I've always wanted to foster. It's kind of always been on my radar, but James, not so much.
Not so much.
So we've talked about it on and off over the last probably 20 years that we've been together, and James has always been like, oh, it's a future thing, if at all. And then as the first lockdown happened, there was a plea for emergency foster carers in Bristol, and I think it all kind of came into an alignment that we're here and we're available. It's not like we have some massive calling for this or that we're more amazing than anyone else, but that actually our city and these children are saying they need someone and we're able to say yes. Then there was quite a lot of waiting around because we really wanted to have a child in our home who was younger than our birth children. And interestingly, that was a really weird time for us because we were like, we're here, we're ready, like, we want to help people. And then we're just sitting waiting, not knowing when someone's coming. And during that time, we were already part of some support groups that Home for Good run. The other people on the call were saying, well, we're already praying for the children we haven't met yet. And I was like, oh, wow, that's good plan. Why are we doing that? So I'd gone to bed that night and I think I'd said to God, oh, okay, like start telling me something about who's going to be coming our way. What can you tell me about them? Expecting just to kind of hear a bit of, I don't really know what I was expecting, but I got a name, basically, which was a bit of a surprise. And so I said to God, okay, what else? What else do I need to know? And more names just kept coming. And I basically ended up with a list of about 10 names. And so I just started praying, primarily for the first name, but for some of the others, and not really knowing what that meant. And then 3 weeks later, we get a call from a social worker saying, there's actually a sibling group who need somewhere to go this afternoon. Could you take them? And we weren't in a place to say yes same day. So we said, send us information, talk to us this weekend, when do you need to know by? And they sent us through the information and the names matched the first two names that I had on my list.
In reflecting about the fostering journey that you have been on, and what would you say that there is about the Father Heart of God that affects the way you think about fostering?
I think that I've understood the Father Heart of God far more since having our own children. So our boys are 8 and 6, and understanding that Father Heart of God and the way that I now understand that God sees me in a similar way to that kind of way that I see and care for my boys it makes me very aware that through no fault of their own, these girls are without that in the same way in a natural sense. They haven't had the steady kind of caring influence that shows them the way that God cares for them. So I think that's been, yeah, motivating, I think, to try and show them what God is as a father to me through talking about who God is, but also through modeling that in the way that, that we look after them, in the way that we keep them safe, in the way that we love them and care for them.
If we pray for you, you this morning, and again for other foster adoptive parents, anything particularly you think would be really good for us to pray for?
I think to begin with, because every child and every carer is going to be in such a different circumstance, that why not you give a go of saying to God, who is it that needs our prayers at the moment? Tell me, what can you tell me about them? What do they need? And see what he says, and just start praying for those people that he brings to you, because that's how our journey started effectively. And more generally, I just think we're realizing that kids who come into the care system don't know that adults can be steadfast or trustworthy or any of these things that we talk about God being a lot of the time. So I think for prayers that their understanding of who God is can be fast-tracked before they're seeing that in earthly terms, so that they can understand their relationship with God when it might not be modelled in human terms yet. And then maybe for us, I think just, yeah, being able to keep stability and wisdom and joy happening when we're affected. The system that we're working in is a bit broken, and everyone in it is doing an amazing job, but it's just, you can't guarantee it's built for success. So for us to have godly wisdom within that.
Thank you so much for giving us the time, to letting us in a little bit of your story, and certainly we're going to be praying now for you and for other foster carers and adoptive parents around city. So thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And let's just pray now together. Father, I thank you that your heart, your father heart for us is one that has adopted us to sonship. And Father, I thank you for Kat and James and for everyone around the church family who are making this step to support vulnerable children in our city. Lord, I pray that you would be blessing them and equipping them. I pray for the children in our city who need that support, Father, that you would be placing them in homes of safety. Lord, I pray that you would be drawing people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This evening is the last in our series in the subject Resolute that we've been following since the beginning of January. If you think about who is the most resolute person that you know, I think the most resolute person in history is our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the way that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, how he went through all sorts of experiences where he could have been manipulated or shaken or knocked off course from his destiny, but he stuck to a path, ultimately completely alone, going to face not just a painful death, but the experience of the extraordinary weight of the sin of the world, the separation from the Father heart of God, and all that, and he did it without flinching or deviating. How was Jesus able to be resolute? How can we learn from the example of Jesus as we seek to be resolute in a world which is full of danger, full of things that can knock us off course? What made Jesus resolute was that he knew the Father heart of God. For Jesus, he knew who he was in the love of the Father. He knew how the Father saw him. He knew the Father's will and purpose. He trusted the Father absolutely. One of the big things that I want to just put to you tonight is that for many of us, we don't really know the Father in the way that Jesus wants us to. And Jesus came into the world to show us the Father's heart, to unite us with the Father. He came as the Father's exact representation, as the one who came to show us what the heart of God was like. At the end of his life, Philip, one of his disciples, said, "Show us the Father." He said, "Look, you've been with me all this time. Don't you know the Father? I and the Father are one." And I guess if we know what the Father's like, it will give us a real confidence in coming to him and asking him for things. There was a time when Jesus was met a woman at a well. In John 4, we read this story. He asked her for a drink, and then he said to her later on, he said, "If you knew it was who asked you for a drink, you'd have asked him, and he'd have given you living water." Quite often, we don't know that we're in the presence of God. We don't know the heart of God to us, so we don't ask him for things. We don't pray because we don't trust the heart of God for us. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 11 about fathers. He says this: "Which of you, if your son asks for fish, would give him a snake? If asks for bread, would give him a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We have a how much more Father who wants to give good gifts to his children. Now, the reality is, all of us human beings are wired for some really important things. We're wired for security and significance. We're wired to believe that we should be loved, that we should be welcomed into a loving family home, that people should love us and care about us. If little children have that in life, they thrive. If they don't have that, they don't thrive. We're wired to believe that we have purpose and meaning in this life. We're wired for a universe that is ordered and predictable. We expect at a gut level for things to kind of follow in those kind of ordered ways. But for many, many people, their experience does not fit what they're wired to expect. For many, many people, they are not unconditionally loved. They do not have a sense of purpose in their life. The universe is chaotic and it throws wobblies at them that could destabilize them. And in that context, for many of us, we project onto God the blame for being in a world like that. We project onto God our feelings of not being loved and feel that God doesn't really love us. We project onto God our feelings of not having significance and purpose. And we project onto God as well the kind of chaos that happens in our lives, as if it's him that sent it. There's a famous story in the Old Testament. It's called the story of Job. It's a treatise on the nature of good and evil and suffering and reality. And in that story, there's a character called Satan. We talked about him a little bit last week, actually, in our service. And in that story, Satan has a go at Job. He tries to afflict him in all kinds of ways, both materially and physically. And his real strategy is to break the relationship of trust that Job has with God, his Father. He wants to hurt Job and then get Job to blame God for the hurt so that he will be distanced from the source of his well-being. And one of the wonderful tributes to Job in the story is that he never lets go. He keeps wanting to find God. He wants to keep bringing his questions. He won't be put off. But Jesus came into the world so that those of us who have misrepresented God, where the data of our experience has kind of spoiled our image of God, where we've backed off from God, where we've run away from him, where we've refused to believe in him, where we feel that if there is a God, then he's just a joker, that he's just toying with us. Jesus came to show us that God is not like that at all. He takes the story of the cruel joke. Here's, do you want some fish? Have a look at this. And it's a snake. He says, no. Parents who love their kids at all, even broken parents, don't behave like that. Your father is as far removed as that as possible. He tells another story about an unjust judge in Luke 18. And he says, if even an unjust judge will grant justice, if he's begged and worn out and harangued enough, you've got a God who's not at all like an unjust judge. He's for you. And Jesus is the Son of God who tells us that we have a Father in heaven that's better than we can imagine, who's more for us than we think. And the greatest story that Jesus tells about the Father heart of God is in Luke 15. And I'm going to read it to you now. We know it as the parable of the prodigal son. It's a very famous story. And in that story, there are two sons. And both of them are like us. And there's a father. And he is meant to show us the heart of God. So let's read it together. Jesus continues, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the inheritance, the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. If you feel far from the Father tonight, if you doubt that he's for you, there's some elements in this story that I just want to apply to you. First of all, the Father watches when we are far off. And you might feel a million miles from God right now, but God is watching over you. And he's ready to meet you when you turn to him. He's ready. In fact, this story tells that the father runs to meet us. That's so undignified in Eastern culture, Middle Eastern culture. A father doesn't run. But this father was overwhelmed with love his child. Maybe he wanted to protect him from the kind of villagers who thought, you know, you've disgraced us by squandering the wealth of the village on wild living. But whatever it was, he went to him. He runs to us. You know, God runs to meet us. Whenever we find God, we find that God's been looking for us all the time. God is a missionary God. God comes and seeks and saves. That's why Jesus came into the world. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's the purpose of God. And tonight, God is seeking us. He wants to draw us near to him. Wherever we are right now, he's seeking for intimacy with us. He loves us. He loves you. Do you know, God doesn't keep a record of wrongs. When Paul writes about love in the letter he wrote to the Corinthian church, and he talked about love, defined it, he said, love is patient, love is kind. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Now, God is love. God doesn't keep a record of wrongs. This son that comes back to the father, he's just saying, look, I've done this. And maybe I could earn my salvation. That's what's going on in his head. Maybe I can work my way back into my father's good books. But we can never work our way back into God's good books because God's heart is already there for us. God's already for you. The son doesn't get a chance to say his little sermon. This is what I'll do. This is how I'll pay my debt back. We can't pay the debt back. We just have to come and say, I'm sorry I ever left you. I'm sorry I walked away from you. And he says, I don't remember what you've done wrong. I'm not going to treat you on the basis of what you've done wrong. I'm going to treat you on the basis of my love and mercy. I'm going to party and celebrate because I'm so for you. I'm so glad I've got you. The father flings his arms around the son and kisses him. The kiss of intimacy. He draws close. That's what our father's like. He doesn't make us earn our forgiveness. And some of you who are Christians back off from God because you think I've got to work harder before I can worship again. I've got to work a bit harder before I can pray. I've got to prove to God that all those promises I've made to him that I've broken, I'm going to try all over again. And God says, don't bother with that. Draw near to me. You need me to help you keep your promises because frankly, you're too weak to do it yourself. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you my spirit to live with you. I want to be that closer to you, closer than breath. You know, God clothes our nakedness. The Bible's always been full of stories of God clothing nakedness. It began in the very first story of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve do something which breaks their relationship with God. And they back off, but God comes looking for them. And he clothes them. And he keeps on doing that. Nakedness speaks of shame, doesn't it? Sometimes our self-image is so low because we haven't kept our own moral code, let alone God's. And we feel so ashamed that we feel if we were really known, people would not love us or accept us. But God says, I know you. And I love you. And I'm clothing you. And for us, Jesus' death on the cross is somehow a clothing. We're kind of hidden in him from the voice of the accuser that wants to point out our shame, that voice of that enemy, that Satan. That's what the word Satan means, actually, accuser. So often it's that voices that say, you're rubbish, you're worthless, the world will be better off without you, you're a blot, you're a blemish. The voice of God says, you are my beloved. Those are the words that Jesus heard when he started his ministry before he'd done anything. This is my beloved son. I'm pleased with him. Security and significance, love and purpose. Jesus had them before he'd done anything. And God loves you. And actually, for many people, when they come to a faith in Jesus Christ, the two things that hit them is, I'm loved. And I know why I'm alive. Because there's a God in heaven who loves me and has invited me to share in his purposes for planet Earth. And what God does is invite us into intimacy and celebration. There's two invitations, aren't there, in this story? There's the invitation that the prodigal gets, and he's dirty. And you know, pigs are unclean animals to Jewish people. And he's ashamed. And there's absolutely, you just imagine, you go to a party, you feel so uncomfortable if you're dirty, if you feel you don't belong. So the father makes it possible for him to belong because he puts a sign of authority, a ring on his finger. He puts a clean turban on his head. There are sandals on his feet. There's a robe around him. And he's clothed. And he's welcomed to a party to celebrate. This son of mine who is lost has been found. It's like he was dead and he's come back to life. He's come back to me. And this son who'd gone looking for parties found the best party was in the father's house. And that's our message to a watching world. There are men and women who are looking for love and purpose and all that kind of stuff. And they're trying to find that fulfillment in all kinds of ways. But the father said, I want to throw a party for you. You might be a party animal. The best party is in my house. There's going to be a party in heaven that's going to go on forever. And you're invited to it. A place where you can know my love. And the other son is not so much the party animal as the legalistic worker. He's not understood the father. He's been very religious. And religious people can miss the father heart as much as hedonists. You know, it's the religious people that miss the father heart in Jesus. Religious people who could look at Jesus healing someone and say it was bad because it happened on the Sabbath. It broke their religious rules. Jesus says to those of us who are legalistic, religious people, I've just wanted you to be with me. You thought you were working to earn favor with me, but you already had the favor. I'm for you. Just come. Just let your hair down a bit. Just come close to me. Join this heavenly party. Just come and be one, not just with me, but also with this prodigal son of yours who's come back. Let's bring unity to this broken, divided world. If we're going to be resolute and we know the Father's heart, it's going to help us overcome. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes this. If God is for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of God? Can trouble, famine, nakedness, a sword? No. God is for you tonight. The data of your life may look messy and complicated. To be honest, the world is a broken place where God's will is not always done, which is why we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God doesn't control us, you know? I believe it's a maxim of love that love has to live with the possibility that love's will isn't done. If you love anyone, you know that there's a possibility that things are going to be, that you want to happen are not going to happen. It's just a risky place, love. And God is the greatest lover and takes extraordinary risks in creating this world and giving us freedom and putting men and women with agency in it. And we mess the world up and other people mess our lives up. And there's a broken power of evil in the world. And in it all, God is there sustaining us, protecting us from fouling up completely and restoring us and bringing his goodness and his hope into our lives time after time after time. And he will do that for you and for me for the rest of our lives and into eternity. God is for you. Don't doubt it. Don't let the trouble and uncertainty of this time deflect you from the true knowledge that Jesus came to give you, that the Father is for you and he loves you. I'm going to pray. Father, tonight, the arms of God are wide, not just for us in this building, not for just in this city, but around the world. Tonight, the Father is brooding over us and calling us to come home. And Father God, in our hearts, where we feel that stir of your Holy Spirit, we want to say yes to you. We don't want to come sluggishly towards you. We want to run to you and say, Father God, receive me. And so I just want to say to anyone tonight who's backed off from God because of hurts and fears and the things that you've maybe projected onto God, just say yes to him tonight. Say yes to his love. Say yes to his mercy. Amen.
you, Dave, for challenging us and inspiring us to keep believing that even though life is hard and we struggle to sometimes receive what we know is out there, but to inspire us to do that. And these verses, as Dave was speaking, just came to me and just reminded me of what he was saying. They're from Romans 8. It says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." And as we go back into worship now, and as we finish, conclude our service, it's an opportunity for us to welcome God's Holy Spirit, to affirm what that verse said, affirm, and what Dave has implored us really to believe and trust in, that we are God's children. And that changes everything, because when we really grasp that, it changes our outlook, it changes how we see our lives, it changes everything. So I'm just going to pray now for God's Spirit to affirm with our spirit that that is true, that we are God's children, that we have been adopted into his family. And then these guys are going to lead us into worship. And it may be that as they worship, you want to just kind of ask God's Spirit to speak to you, to challenge you, to encourage you, to keep looking to him. You might want to put your hands out. You know, that this may be really unfamiliar to you to do that, but it's a non-verbal sign to God that you want to receive from him and that you're ready to receive whatever it is that he wants to give you. So I'm just going to pray, and then these guys will lead us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to come and speak to our spirits, to confirm and affirm that we are your children, Heavenly Father. And right now we recognize that there are so many messages that come against us that conflict with that truth. But Holy Spirit, you want to remind us right now that if we are followers of you, Jesus, then we are God's children. We belong to him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and soften our hearts where they've got hard. Come and remind us that we are dearly loved children of God, that you have lavished your love on us. And right now, even where there's maybe doubts about that, and you feel that isn't true for you, like Dave said, you feel like that's not you and you're on the outside, actually, it is true. It is true. The Father loves you. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. I pray right now, even as people are watching this, that you would be speaking to them, taking them deeper into that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Actually, the truth is, when we're confronted with the Father heart of God, the only thing we can do is to run to the arms of the Father. And just as we've reached the end of our service this evening, I just wanted to really take this prayer of Paul for the church in Ephesus and to pray it over us as a church, as a family, a sort of a blessing to send us on our way for the week. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, May he strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of the Father. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen.
Amen. Oh, great prayer to end our service. Thanks, Luke, for sharing that. And thank you for joining with us. And thank you, everybody who's taken part. Thanks, Dave, for sharing that sort of stirring word. I feel really stirred up myself personally to kind of just keep going deeper and trying to sort of grab hold of more of that, of God's love for me. So thank you, everybody. And thank you for being with us. And if you want to join a midweek group, it doesn't have to be Luke's, actually.
We should have
lots of groups, student groups and young adult groups and groups for every everybody, basically, everybody's got a group. We would love to hear from you about that. And also, if you're here and you're exploring faith and you're not quite sure about what this all means, maybe even what has been said tonight is a little bit confusing, but you are hungry to find out more, take a next step, then we'd love you to visit our website and go to the Exploring Faith page. Check out our Alpha course that is running at the moment. It's a fantastic place to explore faith and find out more about Christianity. But we've come to the end of our service, so...
Which is sad, I don't want to go.
It's so tough, but we have to, Luke. We have
okay,
to go.
Okay.
We have to go. So it's a goodbye from all of us, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
See ya.